Volleyball stays hot on the road, soccer continues to get on the right side of the win column, and football prepares to finish the season strong. Hello and welcome to episode 22 of Talkin' Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter, here with Kai Albrecht. Kai, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Ready for fall break? It's about to get going.
Yeah, this is a special fall break episode. This is one of the last activities that most people will have before they hopefully get to head home. Obviously, for student-athletes, that can be a different story, though.
Right. We've got a big away trip this weekend, an overnighter over fall break.
There you go.
But you know what? Got to make the most of it. We still get Friday off. We get tomorrow. And then we get Monday off as well, so can't complain too much.
Yeah, and then the coaches, if you're on a team, you know, they rotate around the practice schedule. Hopefully they get the practice done early in the morning.
We're not practicing at 6 a.m. tomorrow. It's going to be 10. So it's perfect timing. It'll be warmed up a little bit. It won't
be good.
All dark and muggy out.
Yeah, and it's weird. We got cold coming in, and it started to get chilly at practice, and I don't like it, but we're powering through it.
No, you got that Texas blood. You're not used to the cold.
I just got it. I mean, I don't have any clothes to combat it. I'm warm-blooded, man. What can I say? But you know who likes the cold? You know who likes when the temperatures start getting colder because it means playoff time? Soccer starting to get on the right side of the win column. Boys and girls both picked up a few wins this past week.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll talk about women's soccer first. And you know, a couple weeks ago, we were a little concerned about our women's team. They had gotten three tough losses in a row. They were sitting at the bottom of the G-Pack. We were thinking they've still got a lot of games to play. They can definitely pull this back, but there was a little bit of cause for concern.
Yep.
You know, dropping three in a row, but they've really turned this ship around. I mean, you can see they've gotten four straight wins, back to about the middle of the pack in the overall standings. They're actually at, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the G-Pack out of 12 teams, so
okay.
Right in the top half there, sitting just in front of Morningside, who they beat, and right behind Doan, who they also just beat. Sitting, you know, I feel like this is pretty good for where they started.
And that's what we said when they were coming off that win streak is, you know, now is the time to kick it into gear. And I guess, would you say they've done that? They've kind of turned it around a little bit?
I think they've definitely done that. And you look at the schedule, actually have three very winnable games coming up. You look at the last three games of the GPAC regular season, you've got Waldorf, Mount Marty, and Midland, and those happen to be the bottom three teams
in the
conference.
Yep.
So you'd hope to get three wins out of that and really kind of catapult yourself into maybe the top 25%
sure.
of the conference.
Sure, yeah.
Because, I mean, if we're playing those three teams, they have to be playing each other.
Yep.
Or those top teams, they're going to be playing each other, dropping points, hopefully giving Concordia a chance to move up the standings. But we'll break down a little bit the games from this week. First up on Saturday was Morningside Senior Night. It was a pretty close game throughout. Obviously, you know, we're in the locker room for most of their game, unfortunately, so we can't watch the whole thing. But from the little bit we saw, it was a pretty tight game. I'd say, I mean, looking at the scoreline, we definitely had the edge. We ended up winning 3-1. Game was tied at halftime, though, 1-1, and then we ended up getting two goals in the second half to win it. Looking at the goal scorers, we got Savannah Andrews with one goal, and we got Sierra Springer with one, and then we got Kirsten back on the score sheet with one. She was actually coming off the bench in this game. If you remember, she was injured for the game against Dakota Wesleyan.
That's right.
Didn't start against Morningside, but still made a contribution off the bench. Good to see her back.
They're just easing her back into it.
Easing her back in, for sure. And she was able to get on the score sheet. Assist-wise, she also got an assist.
There you go.
So even with the limited minutes she was given, she certainly made an impact. And yeah, shots were very even. 9 for Morningside, 8 for Concordia. Saves even as well. Our keeper, Angela Banks, had 2 saves. So did the Morningside keeper. Difference was 3 went in our favor, and
yep.
1 went in their favor.
That's usually the difference.
Yeah, you look at a big moment from this game. It was another cool thing. I didn't mention it, or maybe I did, but senior night. So
yep.
Obviously you're honoring those seniors, and a big moment towards the end of the game. About 5 minutes left, we commit a foul in our own box, so a penalty kick for Morningside.
Uh-oh.
You think, okay, if they score, it's 3-2. It's a bit.
Yeah, you start to get antsy a bit.
Because, you know, on senior night, if you're up by, you know, 2-3 goals, you want to throw all your seniors in at the end. Even the ones who don't get as much game time, you want to put them in. So you're thinking, shoot, we can't put all our seniors in if it's a one-goal game.
Yeah, because you don't want to drop a game. That's, like, the number one priority.
Exactly. But then Angie, senior goalie, makes a big save on the penalty. It's not a bad kick either. It's high into the shooter's right, so Angela's left, and okay. She makes a big save on it to keep it 3-1 and kind of allow
some of the seniors come in.
Yeah, allow the seniors to get in the game, or you don't have to pull certain people.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was really big, I guess, in the grand scheme of the game and in the grand scheme of senior night. And that kind of just capped off a great performance from them. I feel like the energy was amazing after that game.
Yeah, you know, and that's also pretty big when you have players who are hobbled, because obviously, you know, we talked about Kirsten was down with an injury. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrews was down a bit earlier in the season with an injury.
Yeah, against Dakota Wesleyan, so, Kirsten and Savannah both didn't play.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, when you get into those closer games, sometimes it kind of Coach Nick Smith forces his hand, and maybe he's got to, hey, Kirsten, you got to, you know, wince through the pain a little bit. We're going to keep you on the field, and then, you know, that could aggravate something worse. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really big when you're winning a game to put teams away like that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, let Kirsten get off the field at the end.
Yep.
When things might start getting chippy, you know, that's when some hard tackles start coming in.
Yeah.
So let her come off, continue to rest her injury, and then come back for the next game, which was another win. And you see she ended up starting the game against Doan. Kirsten and Savannah both started.
Okay.
Doan actually went up 1-0 in this one, so we were behind.
No. Yeah.
But then Andrews had a really nice goal. It was off some kind of set piece. I don't remember exactly, but the ball came back out, and one of our players crossed it back in, and Andrews had a header from probably 15 yards out of goal. And
really?
She was moving back towards the ball and kind of looped it all the way over the Doan goalie and into the goal.
Yeah.
So really nice from that. We were all watching the game. We were like, dang, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I remember that being a storyline last season too. A lot of the times they would lose the set pieces because for how young, and I think like you can, they like to hang their hat on their youth and their speed, but they lacked, especially when I was watching the games a lot more closely last year when I was writing the articles for the team, they lacked a lot of the height.
Yep.
So they would lose a lot of the corner kicks just because teams would out-jump them just because they were taller. So,
right.
I mean, it's good to see those shots falling.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you go in 1-1 at halftime. And so, you know, us guys, we go back to the locker room to get changed. We come back and almost right away, through ball from Hannah Kyle over the top, and guess who gets onto the end of it? I'll let you take a guess.
Okay, well, I'm going to go Kirsten Garner.
Ding, ding, ding. You would be correct.
All right. I didn't need to phone a friend there.
Not an extremely hard guess to make, but she ended up getting on the end of it. The keeper rushed out of her goal, and Kirsten did a little chip over her head right into the goal.
Little touch.
Yeah,
little
two really nice goals for Concordia, and that's how the game ended. Kirsten's goal was with about 10 minutes left, and that kind of sealed it all.
That's good.
They defended well the rest of the game. There was quite a bit of rotation. Especially in the back line, you saw some people you haven't seen all season.
Yeah, sure.
But it was really good to get that win, make it four wins in a row, and take them back getting towards the top of the GPAC standings.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk about a team that has always been right at the top of the GPAC standings.
They're very comfortable being at the top of the GPAC standings, although they are still second. But volleyball just got number 3 in the country. They do their rankings differently that I found out now that I'm tracking it than football. They have more of a bi-weekly system, so they've factored in a lot more of those wins and losses. I think the Northwestern loss happened in that time span, so it's good to see that loss. Obviously, it shouldn't have, but that loss didn't drop you any spots, and we've won every other game. So
right.
We move up a spot. We were number 4. We're number 3. We've won the past 3 games this week since we've last had an episode. We're now 17-2 on the season, 10-1 in the GPAC. Friday, October 11th, you have a 3-0 sweep against Briarcliff. Saturday, October 12th, you have a 3-1 win against Morningside. Wednesday, October 16th, you've got a 3-0 sweep versus the College of St. Mary's. So it's nice to see the volleyball girls just washing their hands of this week, and just handling business.
Yeah, not getting too many extra sets in there.
Not at all. And it's pretty, well, that's the other thing too, because they didn't have a lot of extra sets, and it is crazy some of the kill numbers these girls picked up. So Wednesday, October 16th, you actually had two Bulldogs that had 15 kills. The one, obviously, being Ashley Keck. She continues to be awesome for this team. Just
surprise.
Leading the team in kills, right? But you also had Addie Kierkegaard, who got in there. She tied Ashley with 15 kills. She also led the team in hitting percentage, hitting .426. So she was the most efficient hitter on the night. She had 15 kills, which is her career high. So
nice.
Really, really good for Addie, especially, you know, tracking her progression. I was looking at some of her stats from last year, and just looking at her stats compared to this year, it's really awesome how she's been able to develop. The Saturday game, that was the senior day game against Morningside, 3-1 win. You had just a lot of girls contributing. You had Ashley Keck, Addie Kierkegaard, Gabby Nordeker, and Ella Waters all had 10 or more kills. So it was really the big names in that game that was getting it done. And then the game on Friday was an interesting one. That one was the one versus Briarcliff. It ended up being a 3-0 sweep. But it was very close in that first set. The hitting percentages were down on Concordia's side. And then in that second set, Concordia called a timeout. Coach Ben Bolt must have casted a spell or something in the huddle, because they came out, they looked completely different. They ended up pulling away. And you had, I think the number was 18, 19 different girls got on the court.
That's
so
insane.
It was really good at the end there, because you got a lot of rotation. Obviously, that Friday game wasn't senior night, but you kind of had that senior night feel to it,
right,
where it was just a lot of girls were getting in, a lot of guys were adding to the stat sheet, they were just putting together a good game, and that ended up being a 3-0 sweep. Yeah. So back-to-back-to-back GPAC wins. The first two were at home. The Wednesday one was interesting. So the Wednesday one, that was College St. Mary 3-0 win, that was just yesterday, last night. And that improves Concordia's GPAC road record to 5-0. And they've only lost one away game this season. It was the Bellevue game. That was seems like ages ago.
Yeah, it was forever ago.
And that was in August, I think, right? And that was at a neutral site. That was in Omaha, or maybe it was at Bellevue. I think it was at Bellevue, actually. And that was their only other road loss of the season. So it's really good to see them being able to pack up the bus, travel, go somewhere, and then continue to be as dominant as we would expect them to be if they were playing in Frederick Arena. That's one of the highlights of this team, is just how well built they are, how together they are, and how they really aren't fazed by a lot.
Yeah, and that's big for the national tournament. You know,
huge. That's kind of the point I was
making.
Yeah,
you'll get some home games, but you'll definitely have some neutral sites, some away sites, some places you're not usually playing, because it's not just GPAC teams you're playing at that point.
Yes.
You might be in a whole nother state, and I think they've proved that they can...
Because what was it last year? Was it like Arizona or something?
Probably,
it was
some,
or was that basketball? Either way, they travel, and they are not going to – no dogging – I'm not dogging Bulldogs fans, but you're going to have a lot more fans at Frederick Arena than
right.
you would if you go, you know, halfway across the country. So it's good. A lot of the times you talk about this in any sport, really, you talk about motivation and what gets you going, and just the fact that they're able to motivate themselves, feed off their own energy, and they are not reliant on a really good home crowd to be dominant on the court, is something that bodes very well, I think, for upcoming playoffs and then the rest of the conference schedule, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really impressive how they're able to do it wherever they play.
Yep. And talking about road home wins, the guys, they had a win, but didn't they? They also had another tie.
Guess what score it was?
Was it 1-1?
It was 1-1.
I'm 2-for-2 today.
Once again, you know, back to, unfortunately, kind of a
theme. So that breaks the record then, huh?
Yep. Eight ties on the season, GPAC record.
That is since the GPAC was formed, because it's basically like the article I did 2 weeks ago, which good job in not getting a tie in those 2 weeks or however long that was.
Yeah.
But we knew this was going to happen.
Right.
There had to be one more tie. The other record was Morningside from 2022. They had 7 ties on the season.
And we managed to break the record against Morningside.
And he broke the record against Morningside, and congrats, I guess.
Thank you. And just a little qualifier to your stat there. Up until a couple, I think it was about 5 years ago, there were no ties allowed in regular season games.
Yeah.
So it would go to overtime, but still having 8 ties
in the season.
It's a big number.
It's a big number.
We have... over half of our games have ended in ties. We're 4-2-8 right now.
Maybe this forces them to make a change, because obviously you had that Morningside team with 7 ties. That was in 2022. That was fairly recently. Yeah. And then you've got this Concordia team. So I don't know. I've always been a proponent of the MLS shootouts where they have a running start.
Yep.
So that's my letter to the GPAC.
I think maybe we should implement that.
Do MLS shootouts, pretty please.
Yeah. So it actually brings up an interesting thing for the rankings. We're the only undefeated team left in the conference.
Yeah.
But we're sitting in 6th place.
That's insane.
But it's so tight. It's within 1 point.
Okay.
Separates the top 6.
Wow,
like
really?
We said, the points for soccer goes 3 points for a win, 1 for a tie, 1 or 0 for a loss.
Yep.
And right now it's Hastings at the top with 14. I guess you got Hastings, Dort, Morningside, and Midland all at the top with 14. And then Northwestern and Concordia with 13. Hastings has an extra game played.
Okay, so that's a bit inflated.
Yep, so their number's a little bit inflated. So we can expect, you could kind of put them at number 6 probably and move us up to number 5.
Yeah.
Assuming we'd get 3 points in our... we'd get 3 points a game for our final games.
Yes, yeah.
But it's kind of all to play for right now.
There's really like no point in the top of the standings right now. It's just whoever finishes the season. It's like the start of the season. Everyone's neck and neck.
Pretty really. Much, yeah. And you look at, we actually have a pretty favorable schedule
okay.
to finish it out. We do have a tough game against Midland coming up, so they're right next to us in the standings. We're at 6, they're at 4, but you know, 1 point separates us. So that'll be a tough game, but then this weekend we have Waldorf, who are 0-6 in the conference, 0-11-1 overall in the season. So that's 11 losses, 1 tie.
That bodes well for us.
That does bode well for us. It'll be an away game, though, in Iowa, so it's about a 5-hour drive there. So it'll test us a little bit.
Yeah, that's too long.
Just an annoying drive into a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other game is against Mount Marty, who are 2nd-to-last in the standings. They are 1-5 in the conference. So two games that bode well for wins, and then a final day showdown with Midland. That game will probably mean a lot for GPAC seeding.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
Because at that point you think, I guess you can't even tell though, are the points going to be the same? You know,
yeah.
Or is it going to be this tight? Mm-hmm. Is someone going to pull away at the top? Are we going to pull away at the top? No one knows. I guess for us right now, we're kind of just hoping everyone else does what we've been doing and ties.
Yeah.
So that they all get just 1 point
sure,
instead
yeah.
of someone getting 3. But honestly, looking at the standings, we could finish 6th place. We could also finish 1st place. Yeah, it is all to play for right now.
It's just the season begin again.
Yep. If we get 9 points in our last 3 games, there's a very real chance we finish 1st.
Yeah.
So we'll need a little bit of help from some other teams, but based on how we started, things are looking pretty good for us right now.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's exciting, especially for how we were talking about this team to start the year, for sure.
For sure, yeah. And then we'll kind of break down the 2 games from this week. We do senior night, just like the women,
yep.
against Morningside on Saturday. And that game was pretty even. It was kind of a tale of 2 halves.
Okay.
We were probably the better team in the first half. We had a lot of possession, a lot of good chances. They were probably the better team in the second half. They just had a little bit more energy than us. If you look at the total shot count, it was pretty even. We had 10, they had 13, so they edged it a little bit. Shots on goal, we had 3, they had 5. You look at saves, their keeper had 2 saves. Our goalie Nolan, he had 4, so a pretty big game for him.
Yeah.
Made some nice saves in that one. The goal scorer for us was Hugo Garrote. He got a flick on a corner, so we hit the corner in towards the near post, and
he
hit it kind of like a scorpion, not a scorpion, but kind of like with the outside of his left foot to send it past the goalie.
Okay.
So that was our goal from the game. We conceded about 10 minutes into the second half, and then that's how it finished.
All right.
We had chances. They had chances. It was a pretty even matchup when you look at the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, a tie was probably warranted in this one. But then you look at the game against Doan, and this game was completely one-sided. We'll just look at the shot count real quick.
Yeah.
Doan had 2 shots in the whole game.
Okay.
We had 18.
Yikes. How many did you end up scoring?
3.
Okay. Whoa, okay.
So not quite where we should be with that many shots.
So the takeaway, so you end up having an amazing game with 18 shots, and you still are kind of bummed out by the offensive performance.
Right. You look at the shots on goal, Doan had 1, which was Nolan's 1 save of the game, and then we had 10.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, 10 shots on goal. We missed a couple chances we should have scored.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you're getting that many shots, you probably should have scored a couple more.
What's a good percentage for a soccer team? Shots on goal, how many? What percentage of your shots on goal do you want to see being goals? Like, what's a good milestone there? 50%?
Honestly, it depends how far out you're shooting it from. Because you could have 20 shots from 30 yards out, and you would expect to maybe score one of those.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We ended up having a lot of shots from inside the box. So we would have hoped to convert probably 40, 50% of those.
Yeah.
Maybe get up to 5. I think we probably deserved 5 goals in this game.
Okay.
Didn't end up getting it. The goals came pretty late as well. We didn't score in the first half.
Oh, really?
Despite having 10 shots.
In the first half.
0-0. First 20 minutes of the second half, no goals. Took us till the 72nd minute to get the first one.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crazy. Ryan Wokic, assisted by Zaid Falcon. Zaid pressed their center back pretty well, won the ball off, and played Ryan through on the left wing. And he had a nice finish on his weaker left foot.
Yep.
Put it into the bottom corner to put us up 1-0. And then Ryan was pretty instrumental in our second goal as well. It was another through ball to him. You know, he's pretty quick.
Yeah.
He ended up getting on the ball. Their keeper rushed out of the box. Ryan megged him, so played it through his legs.
There you go.
And the keeper took him out. Straight red for the goalie.
Yeah.
For,
wow.
For a last man tackle.
Wow.
Denying a goal scoring opportunity.
That's a red, huh?
Automatic red.
Did they just give you the goal, or do you still have to kick the penalty?
So it was outside of the box.
Okay.
So kind of the rule is, if it's inside the box, it's a yellow card and a penalty kick.
But if it's outside, it's just a red.
It's a red card and then the free kick.
So smart play by the goalie then, huh?
I don't know.
But, I mean, he gets kicked out of the game. I guess it depends on how good the backup is, right?
Well, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
It didn't end up turning out very well because on that free kick, Martin Herrera stepped up.
They scored.
About 23, 24 yards out and
there
just smacked it into the top left corner against their backup goalie.
Yeah.
I feel kind of bad for him. You know, he gets put in the game, his first shot.
He's probably cold.
Yep.
You know, not stretched.
Nothing he could really do about that goal either. Like, it was picture perfect into
picture
the top
perfect.
Left.
Yeah.
And then you go, so that goal was in the 82nd minute. You go 2 minutes later, Martin gets on the ball again about 20 yards away from goal, and he just hits it, goes in.
Yeah.
Feel bad for their goalie.
Yeah, that's a tough spot.
Yeah, the shot was weird too. He sliced it with his left foot, so it kind of went to the right and then curled back left.
Okay.
So the goalie started moving the wrong way because it started moving that way at first.
Yeah, but he put some English on it.
And then it cut at the last second and went away from him.
That'll do it.
So a really nice performance from Martin. That last goal was assisted by Ugo. So nice to get that one. And yeah, ended up finishing 3-0.
That, I think, it's glad that y'all end up blowing them out there at the end, because if that ends up being a 0-0 tie, especially with how like the first half and the first half of the second half went,
right,
that would have been the most devastating tie of the season.
That'd be a mood killer for sure.
That would be awful. So
the locker room wouldn't have been so happy after the game.
So that's a really good win.
Yeah,
that's
and it was also win. Pretty big. We were able to get a lot of guys in towards the end.
That's nice.
Guys who haven't gotten as many minutes left.
Yeah.
We were able to take Martin out of the game.
Okay.
Towards the end, we were able to take Ferdy Hagen. He's our defensive midfielder. He plays about 90 minutes every game.
Yikes.
That kid's got, he's got to be exhausted.
It's a lot of cardio.
I don't know how he does it.
That's
he
a
is
lot
so
of
fit.
Cardio.
Yeah, so we were able to take him off with 10 minutes left. So only put 80 minutes on his legs this time.
Sure, that feels nice.
I guess so, but kind of saving him for the next couple games. Hopefully we don't need those two very much in the next game. Like we mentioned, Waldorf, just statistically quite a weak team in the conference.
Yeah.
You can't look past anyone.
No, yeah, and that's not what we're saying, but we're just, you know, saying how it is factually.
Just by the stats, Doan beat them 6-0.
And that's the team we just beat 3-0.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you'd hope to have a pretty good result against them. Maybe, you know, you play the starters for 20, 30 minutes, you get up by a couple goals, then you can start cycling in some some guys who haven't gotten many minutes in the season, and save those legs for Mount Marty, and then especially that Midland game. If we can come in fresh to Midland, that'd be really big.
That's ideal. That's ideal.
Yeah, so I guess the overall theme of the men's soccer team is a bit of a rough start to the season, but based off how that was, we're pretty happy with where we are in the standings right now. Kind of everything to play for, which...
Essentially tied for first.
That's what you want. You want to go into the end of the season with the chance to win it. And that's what we have right now.
That's where you are.
That's what we have.
Which is insane.
So we can't complain too much about that. Starting with, you know, so many ties.
That's crazy.
Can't complain about that.
Yeah.
And you also, you're saying you look at Midland. They're going to play Dakota Wesleyan and Mount Marty, two of the bottom half teams.
Okay.
So for, I guess, the matchup between Concordia and Midland, you're expecting to go into that game with Midland up 1 point on us,
mm-hmm.
which means we need a win against them to, I guess, hurdle them.
That'll be a big game.
It'll be a really big
that'll
one.
Be a big game.
And that'll be here in Seward. So hopefully we can get some fans out at Bulldog Stadium for that one.
For sure.
But yeah.
It's an 8 o'clock game, right? Is that when they kick off?
Yes, it'll be an 8 o'clock kickoff.
8 p.m. Seward.
October 30th, day before Halloween.
Ooh, spooky.
A spooky game. Spooky game.
Spooky game. It'd be really spooky if we lose, but we won't lose.
We will make it spooky for Midland.
We'll make
a spooky ride home to Fremont for them.
They'll be scared, yeah.
Very scared.
And talking about spooky, it is October. It is that time of year. It is officially fall, I think. I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist. I think when the leaves start to fall, it's fall.
Pretty much.
Leaves are falling, it's fall. And there is football weather afoot. That's what they call it. I'm not a fan of it, but it is cold. And unfortunately, with the football weather, did not come football. Football had a bye week this past week, so we're all feeling very happy, very healthy. Record stays the same, obviously, 4-2, fourth in the GPAC. We actually dropped, this is just the nature of having bye weeks. In the national rankings, we dropped from 26th to 27th this week. It's hard to gain points when you don't beat anybody.
Not much you can do about that one.
We went from the last time the rankings were released, this time last week, we were 26th in the nation and we received 13 votes. And this past ranking, we are 27th, receiving 9 votes.
Okay.
Wasn't a lot of shakeup in the top 25. There was a team that beat the 25th team. They dropped in, dropped out, whatever. Just looking forward to the future. I'll just preview the end of the season here and then talk about playoffs a bit. And then I'll get into Doan just a little bit. That's obviously our next game. But end of the season, we have Doan, we have Hastings, we have Mount Marty, we have another bye week, which is odd, and then we have Midland to finish off the season. So, I don't know. I think the vibes in that second bye week are going to be kind of weird. It's going to be a little anxious, I think, just from how I think I will be right now, because, man, let's just get on with it. Let's just finish the season, you
right.
know? Because you got one bye week and then the last game of the year. But it is nice to have that bye week. It's nice to recover. So now it's just about winning the next game, and those are all obviously winnable games if you follow the GPAC. Doan's not that great, Mount Marty's not that great, and Midland has been inconsistent this season.
So it's kind of a what Midland are you getting on the day?
It's going to be what Midland we're getting, but that's obviously for weeks down the road.
Right,
we'll deal with that when we get there. But as for now, just fleshing out the playoff picture, which we did this a bit last episode, but just to clarify a few things. So I did some more digging. I did digging into last episode. I did more digging. Subsequently, I'm a bit deeper in my hole. So it's 13 auto bid teams, 7 at large bids. There's 20 teams that make the playoffs. However, this is something me and Kai talked about after the end of last episode last week. That doesn't mean, so you think there's 20 playoff teams. What that makes it sound like is out of the top 25, there will be 5 teams that do not make the playoffs. This is not the case. Due to the nature of the auto bids are automatically given to the winner of various conferences throughout the NAIA. There's 10 conferences and 13 auto bids. I'm not exactly sure how that works because I couldn't find anything black and white saying how that adds up. 10 conferences doesn't equal 13 auto bids. What I'm assuming there's conferences that are big enough that they're split into divisions. So imagine for a second, you have GPAC West and GPAC East, and then one of them wins the West, one of them wins the East. those both get auto bids.
Right. It could also be a case of just the conference has a lot of teams.
That too.
You know, like for soccer.
Yeah.
Last year, there were two automatic bids for the GPAC because we had 12 teams. Now we're down to 11, so we just get one.
It
could be a similar case to that.
You know what? That's probably it too. And I mean, that's just the nature of playing in the GPAC, man. Every team is so good in every sport.
Right.
It's I genuinely think, just from a football standpoint, like the GPAC is probably the SEC of the NAIA, but I digress. You have 13 auto bid teams. Now, here's the issue. A lot of these conferences aren't as good as the GPAC. A lot of these conferences have teams, none of whom are ranked. So you will have teams that finish the season. And I went through last season, looked at the 2023 NAIA playoff bracket, and you had three teams that were 5-5. You had a team that was 6-4, and you had a team that was 6-4. Obviously, those records don't get you ranked, but they were in conferences, which allowed them to get the auto bid and allowed them to get the playoffs. Now, once they got to the playoffs, they lost to Dort by like 40, but that's not here nor there. What that means is there will be more than five teams in the top 25 that do not make the playoffs. In my opinion, it'll be somewhere around 7 to 8 teams. So in order to be comfortable, this is just my layman understanding of it. In order to be comfortable, you need to be, 20, I think, in the national rankings, because then you seriously get looked at as an at-large bid.
Right.
So there's obviously still some work to do, and I think what we need to do on our part is, obviously, you take it week by week, and you have to win the games. You have to win convincingly, because we're not playing any ranked opponents for the rest of the season. There's nothing that's going to shake up the national rankings about our remaining schedule. You have to win these games convincingly, like a genuinely top 20 ranked team would. And I think that's the way to get national attention. I think the best way to do that is against Midland. And we do have an opportunity this coming week, and this is where I'll finish on this, with Doan, the upcoming opponent, because we talk about Midland being inconsistent. Doan has been rather inconsistent as well. Now, this isn't reflected by their record. They're 1-6 overall. They're 1-5 in the conference. But there was their one win coming against Waldorf at home early on in the year, I believe week 3. Yeah, week 3 they won 26-7 versus Waldorf. They have been very inconsistent, because the week after their first win, they lose 70-0 to Morningside.
Oh no.
But we didn't have a pretty game versus Morningside either, unfortunately, reminding the people at home. But they go, and 2 weeks before we play Northwestern, they played Northwestern. At this time, they're still the number 2 ranked team in the nation. And at halftime, it was 7-10. So this is a team that has given some really good teams good fit, good games. The game ended, it was 31-7, so they ended up still getting blown out. But for a half of football, they were extremely competitive with the number 2 team in the nation. So I think if you can go into Doan, it is an away game, 1 p.m. kickoff. If you can go into Doan and really make a statement win, that's how you scratch and claw your way into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to win big. You got to score lots of points and not let them score many against you.
Yeah. And
it's kind of the formula for success.
And everybody on the team is extremely confident in that happening, because we've done it before. We've had our biggest blowout since, what was the stat? When we played Dakota Wesleyan, we won 63-7. It was our biggest blowout since we played Martin Luther, whatever school that is, like in the 1980s.
Right.
So this is a team that can put up numbers. We can hold teams to few points. It's just a matter of staying true to ourselves through the next 4 games of the season to finish it off.
Definitely.
So that's the end all be all. And we can only, and this is obviously none of this big picture stuff is like, this isn't what Coach Dabb is telling us at practice. The only reason I'm doing this research is for the podcast. I want to know, let the viewers know where things stand at the very end. The message right now, and this is what I'll end with, the message that Dabb is the same message that Dabb has given to the team, Coach Dabb's given to the team, is just, we have 4 games. We know that we can win them. We're a good football team. Let's go 1 week at a time, win 1 game at a time, and then whatever happens on November 16th, November 17th, the day after the season, that's out of our control.
Yep. All you can control is the next 4 games.
All you can control is the next 4 games, and then the pesky bye week before the last game of the season.
Yep. Train hard.
Yeah.
I guess get some rest before Midland.
Yeah. That'll be good. The last game, we have two away and 2 home. The Midland and Doan game are away, and then Hastings is home, and then Mount Marty is home. Mount Marty will be senior day. So that it's a good schedule to end things off. We're really confident in how we're able to do it, and man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited.
Yeah, definitely. And now, speaking of a team that has not had very much rest this week,
yeah,
as opposed to the football team, we've got our men's and women's cross country teams. And we mentioned one of their races a week or two ago. They had to get up at, they had to leave at about 4 a.m. for it.
Yeah.
Well, this one they had to leave at around the same time. I think this one might have been 3, actually.
Oh my gosh.
The Holiday Inn Express Classic.
Yeah.
So
that
they
doesn't sound very holiday, leaving at 3 a.m.
No, definitely not. You'd hope to, you know, some nights that's when we get to, you know, go to bed.
Yeah.
It's like a Friday, Saturday night.
If you're an
staying up late.
Unruly college student.
Yeah, you might be going to bed around that time.
Yeah, it's a bedtime, not a wake-up time.
But no, they were going to bed at 8 o'clock that night, get up at 3 to get on the bus.
That's no fun.
And then go run. But it ended up being a pretty decent day for them. The women, as a team, they finished 4th out of 10 total teams. A couple GPAC opponents in there. Our top two finishers were Keegan Beasel in 18th. With a 23:10 6K, so the women ran a 6K in this one. And then Hannah Bintema finished 28th with a 23:33. On the men's side, they finished 3rd out of 11 teams, so getting in that, I guess, top 30%.
Yep.
We had some pretty high-up finishers in this one. Our freshman Vaughn Hendrickson finished 3rd with a 24:58 8K. If you break down the mile splits, that is pretty much exactly a 5 flat mile for 5 miles.
That's too fast.
A little too fast. I don't think... You think we could tag... We couldn't tag team that. Never mind.
Are you kidding? No.
No.
Maybe if we got like 100 of us cloned and we only did the 100s.
Then maybe we could.
Then maybe we may get second and it would be close.
He'd still probably beat us though.
He would beat us.
But someone who almost beat Vaughn was Trey Robertson, the sophomore. He finished 5th place right behind him. With a 25:01, so pretty solid performance from those two. If you remember, Vaughn was the GPAC Cross Country Athlete of the Week last week.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, good to see him putting up another good performance. Robertson as well. Those two have been very consistent this season, except for Robertson had one bad race a couple weeks ago, but he's right back up to where he was.
Yep.
And yeah, they're getting in the top, I guess, top five, right when it matters. Getting closer to the conference meet and getting closer to nationals, they're peaking at the right time.
Yep, I think you can say that about every one of the teams. Every one of the teams seems to be heading in the right direction.
Everyone's been improving since the start.
Soccer, football, I guess volleyball has just always been awesome.
There's not much to improve.
Everyone, all of the other teams we shout out in this podcast all are just in the shadow of volleyball.
Yep, pretty much.
Looking to them as the light on the shining hill. Or
exactly.
The shining light. The shining light on the hill? What was that old?
Something like that.
There's a city on a hill.
Yeah, the city on the hill.
Shining city on the hill. That's volleyball. But anyways, that'll be all for this episode of Talkin' Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for weekly podcasts on the CU in East Sower website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everybody at the CU in East Sower newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs.